to me, it helps me to live a spiritual life. My best friend said to me the other day, the freedom we give to others is a freedom we give to ourselves. And the next day, I had a dream that illustrated this. In a line of workmen getting burdens, and at the end of the line, and happy they run out of burdens just before me. Instead, I'm to bring dessert to the workers. That's just as important. So I'm tasting all these wonderful cakes and pastries, beautiful and magnificent, around the kitchen. There are women working there baking, including some women rabbis that I know. It's a pleasure to be tasting them, and I pick a really good cake to take with me. That was the dream. My comment here in the diary was, the virtue of having no tasks on hand, spreading that discovery. That was Thursday morning. You see the rabbis baking the cakes. The Hebrew Bible was originally an oral epic poem, pre-literate. And part of the unconscious poetry of that, if it describes nature, it may be describing something spiritual. If it's describing something far away, it may be describing something deep within yourself. So these cakes, the most sensual and the most basic sort of a thing of life, are likewise the most spiritual thing. Years ago, visiting the free bakery or the free cafeteria in dreams, I might be just sneaking some of that food away, even though it was free. And then later, in later years, in dreams, I'd actually be helping to bake these cakes. And here it was, bringing these cakes to everybody. After I had eaten them myself, the freedom we give to another is the freedom we give to ourselves. at one level, this is saying we ourselves need to attain the freedom of spiritual awareness, then as a natural consequence, it pours out from us to others. If we don't have it ourselves, we don't have it to give. So the most generous thing we can do is to taste these wonderful cakes, to enter the depths of meditative contact with the one divine, infinite, eternal life. And of course, it's also saying, just plainly, when we give freedom to others, release them from any sense of obligation, we give freedom to ourselves. You see, the people, these workmen were carrying burdens. Free from the burden myself, I could bring the freedom to others. When I drop the sense that another is obligated, I can drop the sense that I am obligated, a sense I'm projecting on the other person. If I can, this is really the same, drop my antagonism or hatred or fear of a person or thing that seems to be dangerous, seems to be an enemy, then I myself can be at peace. The fear is covered with a protective coat of anger and judgment, and it's projected onto the other. You may remember as a child, in the dark, you might hear the house settle and imagine someone was breaking in and be afraid. That was just a projection. And entire societies simply magnify this fear. When we attain the spiritual level, we can give freedom to others. We're not trying to constrain them out of fear. We're not giving them something to do because we think they're deficient. We're not judging. We come to a place where we can love. Where we're all under the same flag. As a parent, we may want our children to accomplish things, saying, you know, make me proud of you. Or we may be angry at our parents because they had some fault that vexed us when we were little. We can give the people in our family freedom. We can give freedom to our spouse to do the things they do, and we may see their little peccadilloes, their funny trips, but we have ours. It's not even but. It's they have their characteristics while we have ours, and this makes us each unique. This makes us each delightful. And the things that torment us, these are the places where we can have the deepest healing, the deepest revelation. So we bless the train of events that brought us here. We bring peace. We bring a wholehearted forgiveness to everything that has happened. The freedom we give to the events of this world is the freedom we give to ourselves. The events of this world are not lockstep. They're not being issued by a totalitarian God at all. God isn't pushing us around, even out of a good heart. God simply has an open door of salvation, which we avail ourselves of when the time is ripe. So the freedom that this world has to go awry, to straighten up, this is the freedom we give ourselves. We discover in this that each of us freely joins the dance, freely takes a part. The macrocosm and microcosm, as above, so below, one of us is free, the world is free, and we get these cakes for free. We don't have to pay for them. It's a free kitchen. There was a story of a man who came to a town, and someone offered him a nice roll, and he said, "Oh, no thanks, I know what bread is like." Then someone offered him a cake. He said, "Well, that's okay, I know what bread is like." And then someone offered him a royal pastry, dripping with the honey and dried fruits, all in a prismatic pattern like a kaleidoscope. And still he said, "I already know what bread tastes like where I come from." So the story says there is an expansion of what is very basic. There is inherently something very basic about the underlying spiritual life of this universe, yet it expands more and more. This is the life of the universe, the purpose of the universe. To access all of this, we go deep within ourselves, and this is meditation. Meditation means centering in the middle. The middle also means non-judgment. Non-partisanship. An ability gained in this practice to love anybody without condition, without some caveat. At the human level, we sometimes achieve these things. We get foretastes of it if we embrace a good cause. We basically do this because of some good intention in our heart, not because we just happen to figure out that this cause is a good idea. Although that will be true as well. In contemplative inquiry, we investigate some principle of truth, and we see the truth of this principle, and that leads us to contact with God. Yet, it is not simply because the particular idea is a sound one, but it resonates like a bell through every cell of us. The principle which was mine, which is mine, this is a spiritual universe working with that daily or more frequently for years. I learned in my bones the truth of the statement. My teacher, Lorraine Sinkler, she worked with the principle, I and my Father are one. That complete sentence is, I and my Father are one, though the Father is greater than I. There are many principles a person could work with. 2 pages of principles are listed at the back of the book, really being with you. It could be love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's not accidental. It seems to be separate sentences. It's not accidental that in the book of Deuteronomy it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am God. The most profound communications are given to us in plain sight, seemingly accidentally, like that. The words that we might follow, kind of like grabbing a cliff face and climbing up a cliff, or down into a well, these are all to lead us to the place beyond words. This is what we are doing. In any form of meditation that takes us all the way to contact with the divine, we are going beyond ourself or the method employed. It's really not the technique, it's our aspiration to break free of all encumbrances, all the self-limitations we erect. For instance, we expect not to find something that will save us or save the world. That would be a self-limitation. Which would color any contact we have with our center. Or we get very egotistical about making a contact. And want to lord it over others. That would be a self-limitation in the form of a self-aggrandizement. Or we have that contact and then we doubt it. We think, that was nice, but in reality I need to pick up a big club. Don't kid yourself. And that would be a self-limitation. Circumscribing the contacts that we make. It's as adventurous as a bird which leaves a nest for the first time and flies across the air, escapes. And you see, that's freedom, to go beyond these self-encumbrances is freedom. The freedom that we give to ourselves in this way, we then can give to others. We can bring this wonderful royal pastry to everybody we meet in our day without having to say anything baldly. It issues forth like heat comes off an object. And it's funny to pause and have silence talking on the radio. But again, the reality is there in those interstices, in the silence between the human methodology of the words. We project wonderful, wonderful things. But let us do it from this ultimate center. Let me say peace, love, and joy. This is KSKQ 89.5 FM, Ashland, Oregon.